T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Look at the other Kansas City teams in sports. Here's Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero.
What's up, Kansas City? Thanks for tuning in. It's Jillian Carroll and Chris Powell.
Hello.
Oh, hello there, sir. Welcome back. We are happy you're here. It's a good night to have a good show.
We got the voice lady saying our names.
We're official now.
I've made it in radio now.
We have a heck of a show lined up tonight, coming off one undefeated weekend in Kansas City. Tonight we're going to hear from a bunch of people. We're going to hear from Coach Peter Vermes of Sporting Kansas City. We're going to talk through a little bit about the MLS playoff run they're about to embark on. We're going to hear from Bink, a little bit of high school football action. We're going to hear from my favorite Scottish human being. Any guesses?
How many you know?
I mean, that's not
really
important.
Know?
That is not important.
You make it seem like there's a lot of Scottish human beings that you know.
Well, he's my favorite. His name is Johnny Russell. And we are also going to learn a little bit about a local team on a 26-0 run right now, Park University and the women's volleyball team. So we got a lot to talk about. But again, we talked a little bit about the weekend being amazing, undefeated. So we started the weekend off with Kansas City Mavericks beating the Indy Fuel, remaining undefeated at home, which is a nice thing to have. Moving on to Saturday, where the Chiefs crushed the Broncos.
Oh, Sunday.
Okay, a.k.a. Sunday.
A.k.a. No, Saturday is not also known as Sunday. Sunday is itself and Saturday is itself.
There's just so many wins, I can't keep them straight. Saturday,
Mavericks. Dusty knows. Dusty's trying to be nice.
Sunday was, first of all, the Chiefs, and then followed by, of course, Sporting Kansas City.
Sporting Kansas City got a big win. They were on right after that Chiefs game. They played LAFC, fighting for the very top spot in the Western Conference. LAFC in its first year of existence. This is their first year playing in Major League Soccer. We are starting to see a lot of these young teams. We saw Atlanta United FC last year. This year, LAFC, first year in the league. They finished with the number 2 seed because Sporting, they whooped that ass on this past Sunday. They got a 2-1 victory at Children's Mercy Park. At one point, they were down 10. They were down one man. I believe Seth Sinovic got a red card. So he got tossed from the game, and they were down to 10 men. And Daniel Shalui, the guy that we talked to last week, the guy that Jillian was able to get to cancel his haunted house plans so that he could talk to us and be on the very first episode of Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero. He went out there, scored the game-winning goal, and was able to deliver Kansas City another Western Conference regular season title.
He did just that. It was a heck of a game. I was thrilled to have made it before kickoff, coming from the Chiefs' victory over the Broncos. Had to skip out a little bit early on that one. And, of course, I was also in the house for the Mavericks' victory. So I'm just saying.
Don't you work for the Mavericks?
I do. I do a little something for the Mavericks. Come out and see us. I might give you some prizes if you're there.
Don't promise that. People will actually try to take you up on that.
I'm fine with it. Come find me. But, hey, I mean, Kansas City sports this weekend, undeniable, amazing, amazing fans at each match, at each game, from the Mavericks to the Chiefs to Sporting. Just doing their thing, being Kansas City fanatics, being big fans.
We got college basketball starting to rear in and starting to go at this point in the year. It's starting to get cold, starting to get dark. Christmas music is playing over the airwaves on the radio, and it's starting to get on my nerves already.
That's just too early.
November 1st, Christmas music this morning. I was mad. And now we're starting to get into the college basketball season. So we've got, not only do we have KU kicking things off, we got K-State. We're the home of the Wildcats here on 610 Sports Radio. Mizzou, you can hear them on our sister station, 98.1 KMBZ. And then you also have UMKC. I think Park University is going. There's so many different schools around here. Johnson County Community College, you can hear their games on 1660 The Score. We have a lot of college basketball here coming up. And as Jillian alluded to, we got the high school football playoffs. Jay Binkley is going to be on in about 25 minutes or so. He's going to come on. He's a football junkie. He loves himself some football. He's the most knowledgeable person that I know about high school football in the city. He's going to be on giving us the biggest matchups. He actually covers. He gets paid to talk about this stuff on television. So he's going to come on here in about 25 minutes. He's going to talk about these big matchups that are going to be coming on because this is like the real big weekend for the high school football playoffs.
Perfect weather for it, hopefully, right? Perfect timing. Let's jump into catching up with Peter Vermees after their big win, as you mentioned, at Children's Mercy Park over LAFC. Had a chance to snag a couple minutes of his time after the match, and he had some really great things to say, not only about his team, but about the fans of Kansas City as well.
Wanted to talk you through just where you're at right now. So tonight's match to me specifically felt so much like the Open Cup match against Dallas, with the red card, with the head injury, so many things, the victory. Mm-hmm. But this team is so different. So we talked about the bench being different. What else is it? Why is this team more promising this year than years past?
I think easy way to put it is we just have so much more quality in the team.
Yeah.
When you add quality and when you add new people, you add a desire and a hunger to want to win, right? And you got to keep freshening it up. I think what happened to us last year is we were good in a lot of respects, but at the end of the year, for some reason, we fell out of form. And I think a lot of it had to do with, remember, we had a bunch of injuries.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys couldn't. You're taking more gas out of a few individuals because the other ones are hurt. And so when they come back, the other ones don't have it, and the other ones can't carry. The new ones come back, they can't carry it. So I think the difference is that right now we have, first off, we don't have a ton of injuries, but we also have a group that is very fresh and very hungry.
Do you feel like they're fresh and hungry and mentally as well, as far as maybe more creative, just maybe more tools in the toolkit?
Yeah, that's a quality. I mean, we just have a so many more better players, yeah. Right? And I think that's the difference. I really do. It's like finishing, you know, chances on goal, this, all those things. Like, it's one thing to have a chance, but it's another thing to have a high quality chance. And then it's another thing for a guy to take a shot, but then it's another thing they got to score. I mean, those are just little nuances, but or little percentages, but we've gotten a lot out of a lot of guys. And it's exciting to see that we have some really good quality within the group.
For sure. Now moving forward, you're in the best place possible. How are you preparing? And is there more pressure since you're at home this year?
No, not at all. I don't think there's more pressure at all. I think the thing is that we now have a week to look at the two opponents that will play against each other that we would line up with, and we'll try to put a plan together for each team, and then we'll kind of go from there. And that's how we'll play it. There's really no other way for us to look at it. We'll try to get the guys rested. We don't want to crush them this week, right? Mm-hmm. We want to kind of bring them back into, because this was a very tough game, which we knew it would be. But we've already experienced a lot of these games, but I think it's also going to help us make us prepared for the games ahead.
So there he is talking about just much more quality of players. The bench, you know, you look at the bench during that game, you have, I mean, I can't even remember all the guys, but Namath, Fontas,
Kuzain,
all of them. And, I mean, those guys and any other team are never going to see the bench. You know, they're going to be playing in heavy contributors. So the fact that he just has so many options, it's just got to be a huge confidence builder for him.
The thing I really like is the fact that you have so many different options for guys who can score. Like, if you remember last year, we were asking who is going to score the goals, because Dom really wasn't that great last year when he was here. Then they ship him down to Orlando, and you know, at that point, you were just kind of trying to figure out who's going to score. Is it going to be Daniel Shalloui? Is it going to be Gerso? Like, where are we getting these goals from?
Rubio, he was expected to do a lot.
He was expected, and, you know, there was question marks there. And when you look at the team this year, Johnny Russell, who you're going to hear from in the next segment, Daniel Shalloui, we talked to him last week. You know, you've got guys, I mean, obviously Gerso comes in, still brings some energy.
Sure.
You can get him from Zusi, even Opara, he's going to sneak in and get a few headers over there. It's just crazy that you got a guy like that on your back line. and he can sneak in and get you a header every now and then for an important goal. It's just there are so many guys, and we're forgetting about Felipe too.
I was going to say Felipe, he just sneaks in and scores goals
all the time. It's
and
just,
even Shelton coming back.
Even I mean that's your guy. I'm kind of still about Shelton.
He turned it around for me. I thought he started the season very slow.
He did.
Didn't use his size. Yeah. Didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yes, and
coming back though, he's producing.
So. Yeah, and it's just like they've got options now. And that's one of the things I you know, about Peter was like, he didn't name any names because he'd have to start just running down the list of guys who have or really stepping up. And this is the reason why their second half run has been so good, because last year they fell off after June and they slowed down because they just couldn't find anybody to score once Dom got moved away. And, you know, he started getting taken out and then eventually got moved away. This year they've got depth. They've got a lot of players, and that's the reason why right now they are sitting nice and pretty at number one in the Western Conference, and they're going to take on Portland November 4th.
And another piece of that toolbox that he was talking about was, he said this quote, I thought it made the interview, but it didn't, but he said, when Seth left the game, they, meaning the crowd, became the 11th man we needed. So he weighs heavily the impact of the crowd at Children's Mercy Park, as he should. We've said it time and time again. Yeah. It is the most difficult atmosphere to play in. So we're looking forward to that playoff match coming back after the guys go to Portland, back on the 11th. But don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll hear about more MLS playoffs and then from Bink about high school football.
Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero.
Right, and we are back from break talking MLS playoffs. We've got some things happening as we speak. We had some things happening last night. So as we speak right now, I believe Columbus at DC United started maybe within the hour ago.
Yeah, and then we've got also we have later on tonight, Los Angeles FC, the team that just took that L at Children's Mercy Park this past Sunday, taking on Real Salt Lake, the team that Sporting had to defeat to win their second MLS Cup crown.
That's going to be a good match.
I think that's going to be a really good. Here's an interesting thing. Because I didn't know this until I just looked at the standings. When LAFC lost, they got regressed down. It went down to the third seed. Mm-hmm. And the Seattle Sounders, a team that at the beginning, the first few months of the season, was at the very bottom of the Western Conference. Somehow, some way, me and Julio always talk about this. They find a way. They're terrible at the beginning of the year, but they find their way to claw their way back into the playoffs, and then they go deep in the playoffs. And they fought their way from being the worst team in Major League Soccer in May to now being the number two seed in the Western Conference and looking like they're going to be primed for a deep run. And they could very well be the team the Sporting has to go through at the very end to make it to another MLS Cup, MLS Cup game. So, very interesting things going on right now. We do have a matchup already set in place, that being New York City FC in the Eastern Conference, going to have to face off against Atlanta United FC.
That will be that's very be good match.
David Villa, Josef Martinez.
That's going to be tough. Yeah.
That's going to be and here's the thing about it is Atlanta United FC is the higher seed.
So it's at Atlanta, correct?
So the second game is going to be at Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Almost 80,000 people packed into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
On a consistent basis.
On a consistent basis. They've done it multiple times.
The team, which is amazing. I mean, I think that's they've done a fantastic job there.
When you can sell out a football stadium in your second, they were doing it in their first year in Atlanta. In Atlanta with soccer. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, we failed to mention earlier, Tata Martino is one of the coaches up for MLS Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. Of course, Bob Bradley of LAFC and our guy, Peter Vermees, who I obviously am biased. However, I think the history of success he's had, the history of his teams and championships, and just what he's done right now, finishing atop of the Western Conference, he's got my vote. Pretty sure he's got yours. If not, we should change that.
I haven't thought about it this deeply, but I probably would take Vermees, considering when you look at where Sporting was just a couple of months ago, they could have gone up or down, and we saw them go down last year. We saw them fall off. And the fact that they were able to fight their way back up, that to me is really impressive. And so I got to give Coach Vermees all the credit in the world. He absolutely deserves any and all the Escalades.
All right. Another match that already took place. So Portland went down to Dallas, which if you watched any of the replays, if you happen to catch the match,
It was on Twitter. It was all over Twitter.
What a disappointment.
Five fans
maybe in that stadium. Maybe tops.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we just talked about how Atlanta in their second year is able to pack Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's the home stadium of the Atlanta Falcons. that's the home venue of the SEC championship. Go Gators. And the fact that the soccer team can sell out a football stadium, but FC Dallas can't sell out a soccer stadium.
That was definitely.
And they've been there for a long time.
And they have a track record. I mean, there is typically a decent team. They do well, you know, they get into the playoffs. They do a fantastic job as of late, especially with the youth programs, with bringing guys up. I would say it's one of the top youth programs aside from probably New York Red Bull and Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, Seattle's really good too. It's crazy. That team is consistently one of the best teams in the Western Conference. And they had nobody there that cared enough to go to a playoff game.
It's a playoff game. Yeah, that's disappointing.
Middle of July regular season game, which, you know, Children's Mercy Park is filled to the brim. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get people for a playoff game.
Disappointing, but Portland went down and did their thing anyway. So at one point they were down to 10 men. Diego Valeri did his thing, 2 goals. I only caught one of them. What a beautiful dead ball. The guy is just so clean on those. He's very talented. So they went down and did their thing, and they will move forward. And then as we talked about tonight, LAFC, RSL, and DC United, Columbus Crew. So let's bring it back to Kansas City, a place that we don't have to worry about. No fans. We don't have to worry about that is not an issue here. One of the new tools or one of the more quality players that Peter Vermees was talking about earlier, we had a chance to hear from him, Johnny Russell himself. Let's hear what he has to say about the season. Johnny Russell, Sporting Kansas City's fantastic winger, big addition to the team. Johnny, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
We are excited to hear all about everything that you're ready to share. So we want to start with just how your transition over to Kansas City has been. You obviously brought your family over, and Kansas City is thrilled you're here. But how's it going for you and the family?
It's going great. We've settled really well. The club have helped, and you know, even the people that we've met in the city have been brilliant as well. So it's a really easy place to settle. From that aspect, it's been perfect.
What do you feel like has been the biggest difference between playing in England and playing over in the MLS?
I don't know. There's a lot of differences with, you know, weather and travel, which is the weather's the one that, you know, took me probably the longest to get used to, get accustomed to. But, you know, apart from that, there's not much, you know, this huge difference. You know, they're both competitive leagues, and, you know, at the end of the day, you need to win games to get yourselves where we are. So, no, there's not a huge difference. Probably just the ones that I'd mentioned there, that'd be the main ones.
Position beautifully, obviously 10 goals on the season, and just recently named Offensive Player of the Year for Sporting Kansas City. So congratulations. How does that feel? And how has, 10 goals, that's amazing. How's everything gone for you offensively this season?
It's been brilliant. I've probably found a bit of consistency this season that I've been lacking, and obviously getting the reward and voted for by the other boys as well. It's always nice to, you know, get a little reward for the work you've put in and for it being voted by the rest of the guys as well. know, that's always nice. But no, it's been a good season. I've felt good. You know, there's a lot I feel I can still improve on, and you know, I work hard to do that. But it's, like you said, it's been a good first season. It's not over yet, obviously, and you know, hopefully it continue for a lot longer. But it's up until now, it's been great for me.
Now, you're one of the more aggressive players that we see for Sporting Kansas City on the attacking side, kind of like what you kind of see from the top stars in the sport of football. Is that something that you kind of do naturally, or is it something that Coach Vermees has kind of coached up in you?
It's always something that has been a part of my game. I think the coach, you know, wants me to get myself into those sort of positions to be that way as well. And, you know, the way we play allows the attacking players to be like that. But it's always something that I felt that I've had in the game, that I always try and bring, you know, to the field. And I want to try and make things happen. You know, it's pretty aggressive at times. Sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't, but I'm always trying to, you know, to make something happen and try and break things down. So, you know, I've always had that. Just maybe sometimes confidence-wise, it's not came off at times in the past, but I feel that as I'm getting older, I'm getting better at managing that, and I feel like this season especially, I've been pretty consistent in that.
Well, this will be your first MLS playoff run here. Obviously, you've played some really high matches or across the pond, but how are you feeling, and how are the guys preparing you for your first MLS playoff?
We're all excited. I've played in big games before as well, so you know, I'm excited for my first shot at the playoffs here. But no, we're prepared normally. It's been a normal week. You know, as of the minute, we still don't know who we're playing, but then, you know, it's not really changed anything. The normal week leading up to a game is what we do, and then as soon as we find out who it is, and then that's when we start focusing on strengths and weaknesses and where we can exploit and where we need to work out. So, not of a real bug about the guys. You know, a lot of them have been there before, been there, done that, so it's, no, it's exciting times for the team.
Now, last week we talked to your teammate Daniel Shallowy, and I asked him about, you know, the pressure of being the top team, the top seed in the Western Conference, and, you know, how much that's going to be on your minds when you guys get to the playoffs. Is that it? And he said that there really wasn't a whole lot of pressure that he was feeling. Is that the same thing with you and the rest of the team?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's any pressure on us. Everyone's competing for the same thing. We want to finish top, and you know, we deserve to do that. We worked hard over the season to be in that position. So, no, I wouldn't say there's any other added pressure. Obviously, the playoffs are pressure games. You know, one bad game, and you know, that could be you. So there's pressure in that sense. But I wouldn't say us being, you know, the number one seed adds to that. Especially, not from any of the guys I've spoken to as well. So, no, everyone's confident. We're just going about our business the way we normally do. And, you know, when it comes to the game, hopefully we perform the way we have been, and we can take care of business as well.
In prep for that, it seemed like you guys had a little bit of fun with some Halloween costumes. Tell me who you thought was the best. I loved your Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
No,
but who did you think took home the prize for best costume at training the other day?
You know, there was a few. I like Zeus's. Didich put a lot of effort on it. He must have got up early to dye his hair, done the face paint as well. So, you know, he was pretty good, and Daniel as well. But no, there was quite a few. It was a lot of guys made a bit of an effort. So it's always good for, you know, a bit of fun, especially, you know, coming into the games that we've got. It's always good to, you know, relax a little and have a bit of fun.
Seems like you guys did just that. Well, we are pulling for you. Really looking forward to this playoff run at Children's Mercy Park. Best of luck to you, Johnny, and thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, guys.
Johnny Russell, what a guy. Great to have him. Thanks so much for your time, Johnny. Obviously, had a lot to share there. Things that he's consistently told me over the season, some of the biggest challenges for him as far as comparing, you know, back home to playing here would be the weather. So hopefully moving into fall, it won't be that big of a deal for him.
I just think the biggest thing is, like, he and Shalloway had just really cool confidence about them. They don't really seem like this number one seed deal is kind of getting to their heads, you know? Because, like, you know, for those of you who don't know, over in England, they don't have the playoffs in their leagues. It's just a regular season, and whoever has the best record, whoever has the most points at the end of their regular season, they just win. That's it. So, you know, it's a really different concept for a lot of the guys, like Shalloway. Shalloway was homegrown, but he's still from Hungary. So, for him, he grew up watching that kind of play. And then you also have Johnny, who played over in Europe. And, you know, over in Europe, they don't have a playoff system over there like we do here. So this is a different concept for them. And the fact that they're really confident, that they're not worried at all about being in the situation where one game can really set you back. Luckily for them, they were able to avoid the knockout stage because of their seeding. But still, one bad game changes the whole landscape of everything. I like the fact that these guys are really confident.
And they're just super excited, which is great. But they have every reason to be. They, you know, like, they're in the driver's seat here, number one seed. We just heard from Coach. They have quality players, a lot of quality players, and they're all excited. Shalloway was talking about last week how he didn't even want to practice anymore. He just wanted to play the game. So very exciting team to watch. Kansas City, keep your eyes on Sporting Kansas City. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, Bink will join us.
Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero.
All right, and we are back, and we have got a friend in the building. We are super excited to be joined by the high school football expert. That's your new title, unless it's already been given.
No, he's like the football expert, period.
Football expert.
Yeah, be careful.
The American football expert.
In the building, we have an award winner.
you're right. We do have an award-winning broadcaster here,
which is excellent. Mark Miller, 1660 tomorrow, our sister station. They're carrying the Rockhurst Lee Summit West game live on 1660. Pre-game starting half an hour early, so it'd be 6:30 because they play 7 o'clock games tomorrow.
See, this is why we bring him on here.
He's we haven't even introduced him yet. So if you didn't recognize the voice. Excuse me, it is Mr. Jay Binkley. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
He's on 6 to 9.
He was just here an hour ago.
He was here an hour ago. 6 to 9 weeknights on here on 610 Sports Radio. Bink at night.
Nerd.
You're right. Dusty, 100% right. We're all nerds here. Me and Jay Binkley, we used to host 610 Sports High School Football Saturday.
I saw a throwback picture of that, me, you, and Ron. School football is awesome. I like you guys' theme of your show.
Yeah.
You're talking about the stuff that doesn't get talked about enough, and I love that, the Park University and UMKC and this kind of stuff. I love in the high school football aspect. When you guys want to talk high school football, I was all about that because this is one of the things in the city that's a hidden gem. And what I mean by this is the talent in this town is exponentially so much better than it used to be with the high school talent. We have guys being looked at by tons of schools. For instance, Graham Mertz plays for Blue Valley North. Got a playoff. He's leading passer in the city, yards per game in total yards. Plays at Blue Valley North. This kid's committed to Wisconsin. Nice. And if you want to see a Division I type athlete play, go see this guy tomorrow night. I highly recommend catch him when they're in high school, and catch him before they're the next big star, because we've got guys that Darren Sproles. Mm-hmm. If you did not take a Friday night to go watch, I think, the greatest running back in the history of the city play at Olathe North, you missed out. Graham Mertz has offers from Alabama, Oklahoma State, Ohio State, USC, Wisconsin, Michigan. You just don't see this from Kansas City players. He's unbelievable. But the local schools need to start signing some of these guys, because the kid at William Chrisman Carson went to Texas. Ronnie Bell got a couple touchdowns for Michigan, true freshman, Park Hill High School.
Ooh.
Wasn't offered by the local guys, right? Not good. The leading receiver at Wisconsin, A.J. Taylor, Rockhurst. They're not playing at Kansas State, Kansas, or Missouri.
All right, why do you think that is? Why are they not looking local?
I think a lot of times it's excitement of the big-name programs. You know, they go where the uniforms are fresh. kids do like those, the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like Missouri's doing this big South End Zone project, and they like that kind of stuff. But you got to be a coach that goes in, and you got to shut down the borders. And that's what Gary Pinkel said, you know. With Doriel Green Beckham, when he was the number one recruit in the nation, mm-hmm. Springfield, yep. Gary Pinkel and company would fly in a helicopter down in Springfield. No, Pinkel does this.
I can picture Pinkel.
With Evan Bain, he landed at Lee Summit West. He's landed at Staley. He lands that helicopter all over the place. But the point being, there is great talent, including Price at the running back at North Kansas City. It's averaging 300 yards rushing a game. He plays tomorrow night. That's going to be a ton of fun. There's just great matchups. Second round of the playoffs for Kansas and Missouri next weekend. It all culminates Thanksgiving weekend. It's kind of the big weekend after Thanksgiving, that Saturday, for Kansas and Missouri, except Class 6 is bumped up to a week earlier. But the rest of them, Missouri's actually pushed back. It used to be right after Thanksgiving, but now it's
first week of December?
Like the day after Thanksgiving. It's December 1st now.
Oh, wow.
They've kind of moved it back because they have all the games in Columbia, and they've been doing this mm-hmm. from Springfield and Columbia. Now all the games are in Columbia, which I think is a primo spot because it's right in the center of the state. And they used to have them in St. Louis. In my opinion was they did this. One, it's a dome, so you didn't have to worry about weather. And it was turf. It's the Arrowhead Stadium. It's grass, so they don't want them tearing it up. Even though Heinz Field in Pittsburgh is grass, and they play the Pennsylvania State title games there because they don't care. Let them play in grass in the elements. But I thought it was for attendance draw to get the people from St. Louis to go watch their schools. The way the brackets were set up, as long as it be Kansas City, St. Louis, because Kansas City fans travel. I mean, it's several hundred thousand people a year attend high school football games in the city.
So looking at these brackets that you left open here on this computer when you were doing the show, Big at Night, 6-7, what do you think is the biggest matchup on the Missouri side? I'm seeing one right now, Dusty's alma mater, Blue Springs, taking on Blue Springs South.
Blue Springs, this is a great game in the past, but Blue Springs South's had a down year. I look for Blue Springs to roll in this one. I personally think it's Rockhurst, Lee Summit West. If you're looking for that big matchup, Rockhurst did lose two this year, once to CBC, which is the best team in the state. They're out of St. Louis.
And Rockbridge.
And they lost to Columbia Rockbridge. But, however, Lee Summit West has beaten Columbia Rockbridge this year. Here's the interesting thing about this. 2 years ago, Rockhurst and Lee Summit West met in the state semifinals, mm-hmm. or the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I remember
last year was the second round. This year is the second round of the district semifinals. So three straight years, Rockhurst has got the best of Lee Summit West. Rockhurst goes on the road. Listen, going and playing on the road in high school doesn't matter. Unless you're going to like a real small town without throwing rocks at your bus and everything else, then it matters. But they'll take all their fans out there. It'll be great. It's not really a home field advantage in high school. We always throw around the word home field advantage. But in this town, this big town, you don't have that as much.
So on the Kansas side here, I mean, I'm looking at this bracket. You got Derby. Derby's 9-0. Derby's been great for years.
Yeah, I mean, it's
who's beating Derby?
It's just one of those Kansas power schools. And here's the problem with Kansas. They've got so many dynasties rolling.
Yes.
Bishop Miege, for example, in Class 4,
mm-hmm.
has won four straight state titles. And they push Rockhurst to the limit. We're talking big class Missouri. They're Class 4, and they used to be 4A Division 1. And they've switched Kansas up to just Class 4A now. So they've been a power team all along. Again, I think going out and seeing Graham Mertz play football would be a good time. Blue Valley North versus Shawnee Mission South. Shawnee Mission South's actually rebounded very nicely this year, 7-2. And then you've got Blue Valley North, the 6-3. And the thing about Blue Valley North, they had some L's last year. But they're one of these teams that once they got to the postseason, they kind of shocked everybody, won the state title. Why? They had a quarterback. They had a Division I quarterback when other teams don't. St. Thomas Aquinas.
Hey, my alma mater.
Do you like them? Let me tell you about St. Thomas Aquinas.
Boo.
Hey, come on now.
The head coach, Randy Dreiling, took this team over. And it was like 2-28, like the 3 years before he got there. He rattles off 7 state titles. All right, it's public school, Hutchinson, Kansas.
Oh, man.
Salt town. He comes here. He's now coaching at a private school.
Right.
Things do change. I have said, this guy, he's been to the state. He hasn't won it. He's been knocking on the door, but he hadn't won it. Aquinas hadn't won one yet. But this guy is Western Kansas, and we've seen the influx of this. Dustin Delaney was his assistant, won a state title at Shawnee Mission East. There's the theme here. These Western Kansas coaches come, and they dominate. I look for St. Thomas Aquinas because they have a running back, a sophomore. He's like one of the fifth or sixth leading rushers in the city, over 1,400 yards. Sophomore, his name is Tank. He's smaller, dude, but he'll run you over. They've got the running game.
You can't be small and be named Tank. You have to be big.
If you can run.
I have a best friend.
Your best friend, and he's a big guy.
He's like 500 pounds.
He's a big guy.
Tank, yeah.
You remember Tank Abbott? Yeah. He used to fight in the UFC. He's a big dude.
I just love the name Tank.
You got to be a big dude if you're going to be Tank.
One of the best running backs in the city.
With the best nicknames.
So this is one of the things I was thinking about earlier, is like, this is kind of the prime time, not for the guys who are about to go to college, but the young guys, the underclassmen right now, getting ready to now, try to make an impact and try to impress scouts who are looking at, you know, maybe they're going into their junior or senior year next year and trying to impress scouts, trying to see if they can get scholarships to go play. What do you think scouts are looking for as far as the young players who are getting playing time in these important games? What are they looking for?
Great question, because there's a huge drop-off between the NFL and college football, mm-hmm. because everybody goes by the star rankings. Kansas State does not put 3 and 4. They don't get the 4 and 5-star guys, but yet they put a lot of guys in the NFL and always did with Bill Snyder. Mm-hmm. But Gary Pinkel used to get a bunch of 3-star guys.
Turn them into first-round picks.
Marcus Mariota was offered 2 scholarships. He won the Heisman Trophy. And he's, Oregon and Hawaii.
Pat Mahomes
was barely offered 3-star.
He got right. It was at Rice and Texas Tech,
yeah,
right?
He and Mayfield weren't recruited guys. And mm-hmm. look at him. We're talking the number 1 overall pick, and we're talking a top 10 pick. They miss it all the time because it's such a crapshoot. And I think it's by reputation. Here's the way. If you get offered all of a sudden by a big school, like we'll say Missouri is in on a kid here in town, all of a sudden he's going to get a better star ranking, and he'll get a bigger one. Say Alabama comes in and offers him. Then all of a sudden they're going to see, oh, Alabama wants this kid? 5-star. they're going to give you an extra star because you're going to Alabama. But the key thing is if you play with a player that's good and he's getting scouted, you got to play a good game because you know they're there to watch him. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many stories of scouts going in or college coaches going in to watch one guy, and then they end up leaving, offering another kid because someone else really stood out. It's really hard to get your name out in high school football. They're doing huddle films and everything else that the kids
see. Yeah, we used to watch those when we were doing the high school show.
I knew a kid, and his dad played in the NFL with the Chiefs, and he played on my high school team. His dad sent his highlights to every single Division I team because he wasn't getting scouted. Ended up getting a full ride to Kansas State.
Oh, wow.
Ended up playing in the NFL for a couple years. But his dad took the time to send it to all the schools because they will miss you. Yeah. They will miss on you. And that's why the Division II schools around here are so good, because they get passed over by the local schools and end up Division II. But that's why they're powerful. But the key is, if you have a kid on your team that's real good, play your best and ball out, because they're going to be watching him. They're going to come away wanting you.
We've got a chime in from the text line. It says, I'm calling it. Lee Summit West will beat Rockhurst tomorrow. Lee Summit West probably has the biggest home field advantage of all the Lee Summit schools.
You'll be able to hear that game on 66 The Score. Mark Miller with the call. Russ Cascio as well. So make sure you tune into that.
Lee Summit North is actually the number 1 team in that division. Lee Summit North actually beat Lee Summit West this year. So Lee Summit North, Jamar Mosey, used to be a running back out at Blue Springs High School. And he's an excellent coach. And They really started emerging, taking those steps that you see in high school football, because I do believe it's the coach. Because the talent moves around so much, and you only can play with who you got. Mm-hmm. I've seen it all the time. Ken Clemens at Oak Park High School. This team won 0, then they won 2.
Of course, he had to get the Oak Park thing because he's an Oak Park alumnus.
Well, they have a big game against Staley tomorrow. Big game against Staley, second round of the playoffs. Game. But he's won 4 this year, so it's taking those steps. Lee Summit North has taken those steps, ready to punch that ticket to the state title game. Show me bowls, what they call it.
All right, well, you heard it from the expert himself. Bink, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned.
That's too kind of you. Thank you.
Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero.
Thank you, Bink, for bringing all the knowledge of Friday Night Lights high school football. Man, I used to love being at high school football games.
Yeah, literally I loved it. I was more of a high school basketball guy when I was in high school, but I did love the environment for high school football. The band playing during the game and whatnot.
The cheerleaders?
That too. I dated a cheerleader when I was in high school. So, I was definitely in on the cheerleader game when I was in there. So I definitely see it from that perspective too. But yeah. Love high school football. Me and Bink used to do a high school show on Saturday mornings. So, got to go out to games, got to cover it, got to talk to coaches. Coaches love the press time. And we have a lot of really good coaches here in Kansas City. So definitely nice getting back into the flow.
Yes. Well, let's switch gears here over to volleyball. Really cool, fun, just a really great program locally. Obviously, Park University, they're on a roll. They are 26-0 right now. So we're going to take a second and hear from men's and women's head coach, volleyball head coach, Coach Telmontes. Let's hear what he has to say.
Coach Telemontes, thank you so much for your time today. No, it's a game night, so there's lots of things happening here, but let's talk quickly about your team, 26-0 right now, number one in the conference, heading into a fun night tonight, though, a little bit lighthearted. This is going to be senior night. So tell me a little bit about the team and your seniors that we're celebrating tonight.
Oh, I mean, that would take me a while. We've had a great run, like we said, 26-0, number one in the country. And I attest a lot of that to our senior class. I'm sitting across from one of our leaders and probably one of the heart, soul of our team, in Donna Gomez. We enjoy senior night. It's always a fun atmosphere because the team gets together and kind of decorates and sets things up, and we kind of show our senior class who put in all the work how much we appreciate it. So tonight will be nothing different.
Well, you have to talk a little bit about your proven track record of success here. About 8 years in, 2014, number one in the country. 4 out of 5 of the past conference titles are yours. What is it? What are your tricks?
I don't honestly. I mean, we had this speech last year at the banquet. The magic and the wizardry of this program is my players. I've been lucky to inherit a great team when I got here 8 years ago, and it just kind of grew from there. So I've got great kids locally, great kids from all over the world, and I'm just lucky to be good enough to get out of their way and let them do their jobs.
What a record. What a guy. Had a great time hearing from him. Again, he all credit to his players, but clearly the man is doing something right there. 26-0. They went 50 sets undefeated. Just a really great team. And he mentioned the heart and soul.
What, 50 undefeated?
Sets. Oh. So, yeah. I think it was 53. Oh. But truly a unique team.
Powerhouse.
Really special. Doing some great things. Playing as we speak. Haven't caught the score, but we're pulling for you, Park, senior night right now, and one of those seniors being celebrated is senior setter Donna Gomez. Let's hear from her. Joined now by senior setter Donna Gomez. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I know you're getting ready for a game tonight,
yes.
Which is senior night. So are you looking forward to that?
Yes. I don't know. It's kind of hard to think that this day is come because, like, 4 years ago, I could never thought that this day would be here, and I don't know, honestly, I have no idea how I'm going to react, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be really emotional because it's been quite a journey so far, so.
Well, yeah, of your 4 years, you've started every year, and you've been a huge impact. Over 5,000 assists in your season, all about 100, 175 more to set the record. Has any special moments stick out, or any game or any championships, because there's been a lot over your 4 years, anything stick out to you as most memorable?
Well, honestly, all 4 years, like all four teams has been like a different team, actually. But what I can say is that all 4 years, like all four teams, we always wanted to stick together and like win. That's always our goal, and we've always been there for each other. And I think nationals is always quite emotional. Like, that's what we play for, that's what we work for, because that's the big goal. And I remember, I'm pretty sure the most impact one so far was 2016, because we started really bad. Actually, we lost the first game in 5, and we were like, what is going on? You know, like, we did not expect that at all, but we stick to it. We talk, like, we put our heads together, and like, we just start playing again. Like, we left that behind, and then we're like, it's not over. Let's just start over and just play.
Really cool stories from Donna tonight. Thanks again for your time. But she spoke about all the things that I love and the kind of the spirit of this show, pulling together as a team, some of those emotional moments where they might not have finished the way they wanted to, but those are what is sticking out to her as a college athlete. So they're not done yet. They've got playoffs coming up, and then, of course, the national tournament. So best of luck to Park, and thanks again for your time.
Now, coming up for this weekend, real quick before we finish off the show, hand things off to Fox Sports Radio. We've got this weekend, we got a great slate for college football. We got Mizzou taking on Florida. down in Gainesville. Go Gators. They about to chomp the Tigers. Then we also have Kansas. They will be taking on Iowa State. And Kansas State will be taking on TCU this Saturday. You'll be able to hear that here. At the game starts at 2:30. I believe our coverage starts at noon here on 610 Sports Radio. Rockhurst Lee Summit on 1660 The Score tomorrow night, 7:05. I think 6:45 is when it starts. So make sure you listen to that. Also, Sporting Kansas City, they will be playing on the 4th.
That little match.
Against the TBD opponent. Yes. So that'll be going on as well.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.
Carol and Uno Sayo. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.